The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here he is with the best opening song on planet Earth, Tom Hauser from Channel 5. Tom, like all our guests on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Okay, give me the nonsense lineup today. The Supreme Court, the Minnesota Supreme Court, this is a 1 o'clock start, correct?
Yes, gets underway in 22 minutes, and the decision could come anytime after that. With our luck, it'll be late on Friday night, like they did to us last week.
Okay. Lay it out, and then why are they ruling as quickly as they rule? I ask because a lot of times we have these cases in front of the Minnesota State Supreme Court or the federal Supreme Court, and you think, wow, we got to get that ruling right away. And they're, no. We'll react on our own time.
Well, they might do that. So I'm just guessing they're going to rule sooner rather than later because of what's at stake at the legislature. The boycott by the DFL is in day 10, the second week of the legislative session, unprecedented in state history that one side is boycotting the legislative session. And so the Supreme Court, I think, will likely rule, you know, if not within 24 hours, certainly, I think, in less than a week. And again, this is all supposition. You're talking about the Supreme Court, and as you point out, they like to operate on their own timetable, whether it's the state Supreme Court or the federal court.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. But there is a lot at stake, and so
yes. This
is maybe a little more, a decision could be more imminent than usual.
Okay. Let's say it plays out one way. And the Democrats feel like, okay, off this ruling, we're not going back until it's 67-67. Let's play out the overwhelming likelihood that when we have the election for the seat where Curtis Johnson, let's be crystal clear, lied, wasn't eligible to run for that seat. But it's a strong Democrat leaning district. Is it possible that the Democrats are going to sit here week after week after week after week and not show up until it's 67-67?
That is certainly possible. And for those of you keeping score at home, that would be 7 more weeks. When a lot of people are preparing to go on spring break,
my God,
they might not have shown up at the Capitol yet. Now, there's a lot of moving parts to this. So that could change. They could start to really feel the pressure. And they could go back. What they claim the reason now that they are so worried about the quorum issue is not necessarily because of the Curtis Johnson seat in the Roseville area.
Yep.
But they're concerned that Republicans are going to vote to not seat Representative Brad Tapke, who, as we all know, and again, mm-hmm. This is such a complicated suit.
It is, right.
He won his race by 14 votes, but 20 ballots were thrown away. The court determined that there's a likelihood, but not 100% certainty, that those 20 ballots would not have changed the margin. Republicans say we don't know that, so they should redo that election. So there is the thought that Republicans might try to not seat Tapke. And keep in mind, Tapke would not have a vote, even though he is technically been sworn in. A member cannot vote when they are the subject of a motion. So Republicans would have an advantage in doing that. And Democrats say they're going to stay away until they have assurances. Republicans will not try to keep him from taking his seat.
You laid that out perfectly. Very, very well done. I go back to this. I think they should have had an election myself, but you did have in that hearing, which you saw multiple people testify that they were the ones whose ballots were lost and they voted for Tapke. And for his opponent, it was Aaron Paul, right? Don't I think I have the name?
Yes, Aaron Paul.
Yeah.
Yep.
He would have, of these 20 votes, to win, he would have needed to win 17 of the 20. If it was 16-4, it's a tie. So to me, in this case, the Republicans, or if it would have been the Democrats, and by the way, I'm belittling the Democrats for not showing up, okay? They absolutely should show up. But this is where the Republicans have to say, okay, we don't agree, but we have a judicial decision. There's nowhere to go. And when Lisa Daymuth, who makes herself available to the media, this show with you, I appreciate that. But when she says, well, we have the final say, Tom, you can just extrapolate that and say, okay, if Daymuth is the speaker, why doesn't she pick out five or six other people and say, well, we'll just decide if we're going to seat you or not. I mean, that would open up utter silliness, wouldn't it?
It would, but very few races are as close as this one. And it's not just the closeness. You know, if he had won by two votes and there was no questions about the validity of the vote, it wouldn't matter. But 20 ballots being thrown away without ever being counted, and again, even the election chief down in Scott County said she's pretty sure they know whose 20 ballots they were, but she can't say with 100% certainty. And a lot of people say when it comes to voting, everybody should know with 100% certainty that their vote was counted. So you can see the arguments on both sides. And I obviously Lisa Daymuth isn't going to go to that point of trying to pick and choose, because right now the validity of her as Speaker of the House is in question, because we don't even know if they had a valid quorum or not. And just so people know what the Supreme Court is going to decide today, there's a few different routes they could go. They could decide that a quorum is you've got to have at least 68 out of 134, which is the maximum number of House members, or they could decide a quorum is 67 out of 133, which is how many House members are currently legally situated in the House because of that special election coming up in March. And so they could decide one of those two ways on what is a quorum, or they could just say, here's our opinion, but we're not going to rule. Mm-hmm. We're going to throw this back to you to decide, which is what the Republicans want them to do, because they say the judicial and the executive branches should not be dictating to the House, which is the legislative branch, how they run their business.
I'm going to put you on hold, come back with more, but I'm going to remind folks about one decision that's come out in the last 15 minutes, and one that has just happened. Lisa Murkowski, the Republican senator from Alaska, who is much more of a centrist than many other MAGA-loving Republicans, she has come out today. She's the first Republican in the last 5 minutes to say she is a no vote on Pete Hegseth. We had the information come out in the last, 3 days, where not the present wife, but the second wife, the sister-in-law, was suggesting that the drinking from Hegseth was more excessive, that there was violence towards her sister-in-law, then Hegseth's wife. She had a safe word to let people know if she needed help. And so Murkowski's saying she's a no. And also, why don't we just put time on hold there? And also that about 15 minutes ago, a federal judge said no to Donald Trump, that you cannot, by executive order, overturn birthright citizenship. In fact, one of the quotes from the ruling, this is blatantly unconstitutional. Right back with Hauser in moments. I think this inspired by a story in the Star Tribune. Is this correct, Dave?
100%.
Yeah.
Because there's a car wash everywhere. There's probably people listening to you right now as they're driving through or waiting in line to get through that car wash. So why not have some car wash and music?
Yeah, we're going to talk car washes and our fascination with car washes at some point before the show is done. I've been fascinated with Tom Hauser since I started watching him when I was 5 or 6. Tom celebrated his 85th birthday this year. Congratulations. Happy birthday. You look tremendous for 85. For the folks who are saying, you know, I'm hearing all this about, you know, they're not in St. Paul. And then I listen to you guys on the radio talk, or I watch Tom, and then it gets down to the last 4 days, and it's the governor, and it's the four leaders, and they come up with some deal, and then they give the other representatives and senators about 4 minutes to vote on a bill that's 500-some pages. So why are we worried about what's happening in January? What do you say to those folks?
You just summarized perfectly how every legislative session I've ever covered has gone. So bravo to you.
Thank you.
The reason you should care is that, and you and I have talked about this before, in January and February is when they do a lot of the testimony, they hear from the public, people feel like they have a chance to give input on a lot of these bills, and they're, while granted at the end of the session, it often ends up being a couple of really massive bills that everything gets put into, but all of those little amendments that are passed along the way, including in February and March, end up in the final bills. And so it's important that the public have a chance to weigh in and that lawmakers have a chance to weigh in and help shape this legislation. If they don't start doing that work until March, then there's almost no chance they'll get done by May 19th. I already don't think, even if none of this flap had happened, the fact that there's a tie in the Minnesota House, I think, was going to make it very difficult to reach compromise. And so they're probably going to go into June anyway. But, you know, the optics are not very good.
So I think I asked you this last time we chatted, but I'm bringing it up again. I know the governor issued a statement much in favor of his party. Then he appeared on Almanac and was reacting to the ruling where it showed that he had scheduled the election too soon. Is he going to say anything else, or is he potentially waiting for this state Supreme Court ruling off the hearing today? Because I get it, he's a Democrat. But, man, it just seems like the governor of the state, no matter which party, should somehow be involved trying to mediate this process. Crazy me to think that.
Well, I talked to members of his staff yesterday. The Walz administration does not recognize the Minnesota House to be legally organized. So to them, the House is persona non grata.
Okay.
They have also instructed commissioners to not testify before the committees under the way it's presently constituted with only Republicans. Now, that is not true in the Senate. They are allowed to go there, but the Walz administration does not recognize the House as being legally organized at this point. He did make some more statements when he unveiled his budget last week saying this is not helpful. You know, Republicans are overreaching, but it's hard to argue that Democrats, they could be making these same arguments in the House chambers and still take all of this to court.
Yes.
And not have this bad optic. But they've chosen not to, and again, largely because of that rationale I told you about earlier, with they're afraid Republicans are going to try to not seat one of their representatives, Brad Tapke.
Last point on this, you know, it's a long, long time until the next election. It's, you know, January 23rd, it's November, I don't know, 5th, 6th, something like that, 2026. But that's a race for a new governor. Maybe it's Tim Walz, who knows? I certainly get the feeling, I think you do too, that we're going to have a big name Republican. I don't think it's going to be names quite as anonymous as recently, whether it's Emmer, whether it's Stauber. I actually don't think it's going to be Emmer. I think Emmer has too much power right now. Who knows by then? He might be Speaker of the House. It's up to the whims of the president. Then you have the Senate seat. You know, the Democrats lost a little bit, not a lot, but enough to lose the trifecta. This cannot be positive for the moderates and the swing voters. And I'm not exonerating the Republicans because they should seat Tapke. They should come up with some sharing agreement. But the Democrats not showing up is bugging a lot of people in this state, and I don't blame them for it at all.
And remember, Democrats are, what, essentially 15 votes away from being in the minority.
Yeah.
If 15 votes in that Scott County race involving Tapke and Paul had gone the other way, then we wouldn't be having any of these discussions.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how close it was. And even though the next election isn't for another, 22 months, that's really not very long. Even the governor said on NPR, I think last Friday, he's probably going to announce sometime in June whether he's running for reelection. It sure sounds like he's leaning that direction.
It does.
And then by June, you're talking about, just a year and a half. And if this gets really ugly and messy, it's not going to help House Democrats. It's not going to help the governor. And frankly, who knows? It might not help Republicans. It's hard to say. This is still largely a blue state.
It is. It is. But we have folks who can make it closer. I mean, Donald Trump only lost to Hillary Clinton by less than 2 percentage points in 16, right?
Yes, so, and he was closer. He was closer this time than he was than the last race against Biden. So it could we could be at a tipping point in Minnesota, and I think we'll get a really good idea of that in the next election. You know, Tina Smith's approval ratings are not very good.
No.
I mean, they're mid to upper 40s. And, Tim Walz and Klobuchar, much higher than that. I think Republicans view her as vulnerable.
Yeah, last thing, 30 seconds ago. I think Stauber's running for one of those two races. What do you think?
Certainly a possibility. The Republicans do need a name candidate, somebody who has been elected before. If they keep running these unknown, underfunded candidates, they're going to have a tough road in 26.
Great stuff as always, sir. Watch Tom tonight, Channel 5 again. The Supreme Court, Minnesota Supreme Court hearing starts in 3 minutes, and Tom will be all over it on TV and on Twitter. Be well, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Chad.
Tom Hauser, the best in this state covering politics, and it's not close. Your Linus Construction time check is 12:57. Time to get free installation labor on GAF solar shingles. CBS News and Susan K. Jones next on CCO.